Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Welcome to the Sunday show at 6 p.m. Let's just get into it. David, what were you talking about there? Go again with that, will you? Georgetown?
At the National Security Archive at George Washington University, they have quite a library of security documents that get released. And they just released a bunch of documents that prove that Gorbachev was promised that NATO would not expand one inch eastward. And he was also given assurances by Mitterrand and Bush and Baker.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's, you know, before it was like, oh, this is just a rumor. This is actual documents that went back and forth. And it was the requirement for the reunification of Germany, and that's where it was negotiated with Gorbachev. He wanted to have that because he had veto power in the reunification. And he said, I'm not going to do the veto. I'll veto it unless you give me assurances that NATO will not continue eastward. And they did. It was several documents.
Wow.
And hasn't Gorbachev brought that up now? He's still alive.
He is. He lives in California.
I'm assuming he's still mental, that he knows what he's doing. I'm surprised he hasn't spoken up.
Yeah, he really doesn't get into politics at all.
Well, but this is something he should get into if he's trying to make a case.
He's not trying to make a case. It's the case.
Anyway, it was promised that NATO would not expand one inch eastward, and upon that promise of security, the agreement, which is called the 2+4 talks, came to pass, and it's signed document saying that they would not progress further eastward.
Hmm.
I can send the link to you guys if you want. So.
Well, I'd like to see that. Anyway, Gren, you haven't introduced anybody yet. You should at least say who we are for those who don't know us.
Well, thank you, David. David Williams is one of the captains over at Roundtree 7 on Facebook, Journey with Roundtree 7. And we have Ronald Feynman, presidential author and historian, and Wayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that the Ukraine people are gearing up to fight.
Well, they're not just going to cave in, that's for sure. Yeah. But it's going to be a lost cause, I think.
Well, it's all of a battle of attrition, and, you know, it just...
My ancestors come from Ukraine. My grandparents came from Ukraine. Not, we think of it as Russia, but it was actually Ukraine. It was actually Odessa, which is Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was part of Russia.
Yeah.
So I feel very involved, even though I don't know anybody from there. But, I mean, the fact that they came at the turn of the 20th century, if they hadn't, they would have been mass murdered in the Holocaust. Unfortunately, a lot of that area of Odessa was slaughtered. So luckily they came at the turn of the century. But it's sad, really, what's happened to Ukraine over the years with all the conquests and everything.
It's sort of stunning that there's this narrative that's built up about Ukraine and Russian aggression and all this stuff. Not very many people know that $600 million in weapons was allocated to Ukraine going through a third-party nation. And just in December, $200 million more in weapons is being shipped. And they call it that security assurances, but it's military weapons. And, to me, that's aggression.
Yeah, it is. It is aggression. I agree with you, David. And both sides of the fence play at this and have from time immemorial.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Putin's a nice guy. He's a thug.
He is. We all know it, but it's still.
We promised clearly to that man that we're clearly violating it. And now we're supplying weapons to the country that's right on their border. And, think about Cuba. We were willing to go to World War III And those missiles were 60 miles away. You know, if Ukraine mm-hmm. joins NATO, then Russia can't do anything about it, because if they attack then, it's attacking NATO and it's World War III. So
there is a danger if Putin was to attack Finland. Well, Finland's not in NATO, but if they would attack Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, or Poland, it would be World War III. My God, you know. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So why would you want to do that? I mean, it's blurring the issues. The issue is that Ukraine has a very strong possibility of joining NATO. And to get an influx of capital, NATO will demand that they install offensive weapons in Ukraine. I mean, that's going to be the deal. It's been the deal with the other countries as well. So once that occurs and Ukraine has joined NATO, Putin has no choice. I mean, he's backed into a corner. It's like World War III or not. It's like defeat.
Yeah, but what I've heard about Ukraine is that it would take about 20 years before they could even get into NATO. It would be a lot of steps to go through. It's not done quickly. That's what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've read.
It's a lot of steps in process to get in. Look where we're at now. So, you know, in my opinion, I think we have to give them a diplomatic solution, and also we have to be aware that that's their sphere of influence. We can't be putting weapons and threatening their security right on their border. I mean, we wouldn't allow it if they were supporting something in Mexico.
No,
you know,
we would.
It's a pragmatic choice. I mean, war shouldn't be the first answer. It should be the very last answer. You know, it seems like diplomacy is out the window. You know, it's just back and forth and back and forth. And
what is going on in Washington?
Any second, it's the same story that's been going over and over again for the past 6 or 7 wars we've been in. You know, it's like we're being backed into a war. We have no choice. But then we find out that, you know, maybe
it was profiteering. It was war.
Yeah, war is a failure.
Yeah.
Diplomacy and soft power is, you know.
Successful.
But I don't know. We got such a large military. I mean, that's the only power we have anymore. You know, we don't have our soft power. We've lost sort of that footing. Maybe
the
military is all we have. So, you know, it's like either that or sanctions. And sanctions, it's been proven over and over again that sanctions don't work. All they do is punish the population.
Davis, you and I spoke about last week was there's got to be some kind of an equilibrium that has to be in negotiating. You try to get, you know, is it a win-win for both parties? That's the equilibrium aspect. Plus two is Putin has to be able to save face if he's going to stay in power. And the same thing with Biden. They're both of them going to have to come out looking like they can save face in all this. That's the real question. How do we reach that? So I guess that's my question here.
What
needs to be done to reset?
All you got to do is say, we will not allow Ukraine to join NATO. And Putin will get his. But Biden has already taken that off the table. And I don't understand why. There's something going on there, a petro power or something that, you know.
Money.
It is rich with all kinds of natural resources. I think I sent that to you, David, and Glenn and Professor Ron here. And with Russia only having such a large country, but they only have the economy equal to or less than the country of Italy. So, you know, there's an economic-driven aspect here.
It really doesn't make sense either, because China will stand with the U.S.
I'm not so sure on that.
I've read that there's a fear that if we don't stand up to Russia, that China will then go after Taiwan, that they'll see they can get away with it. That's the theory,
Right, right, right. It's like you know,
and I think China is more of a threat worldwide than Russia. That I would say.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Bill Maher, you know, who's a comedian, Bill Maher was making statements about China and how we're so concerned about what China thinks that we let them get away with a lot. And, you know, I didn't expect him to say that this, you know, what's it on Friday, but he did, you know. So I think China is the real threat, unfortunately. And I don't know how to handle it with the Hong Kong issue and now with Taiwan, you know.
Exactly.
Well,
go ahead.
They're getting ready to open up Nord Stream 2, which is a gas pipeline that goes under the sea there and bypasses Ukraine altogether, and it takes away from Ukraine several billion dollars in transportation fees that they get every year. So this basically goes right directly to, I forget what town or city it is in Germany.
Isn't it north of Belgium?
Germany, yeah.
Going to Germany?
Yeah, direct pipeline to Germany.
Yeah,
and it's completed,
it's
but it's
Germany,
not
on the north side.
So
well, Germany
I gotta believe that that's a big part of it.
Say that again, David.
Nord Stream 2, which is a underwater pipeline that's double the size of what the pipeline is.
Okay.
Yeah,
so basically... No,
well, the thing is, this would be the biggest war since 1945, they're saying, in Europe, you know, much bigger than the Balkans War in the 90s, you know. It's very, the thought of going back to 1945, oh, my God, you know, it's just terrifying.
Can you guys hear me?
Very lightly.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
That's weird.
Much
now
better.
Good.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, if you want me to continue on this, I mean, I don't want to be hogging the conversation here, but Nord Stream 2 is a double the capacity gas pipeline from Gazprom in Russia, and it's a direct pipeline that goes to Germany.
Right.
And it bypasses Ukraine, and it also bypasses several $1 billion in fees that Ukraine gets every year from it. So, you know, they're sort of upset about that. The pipeline is completed, but it hasn't been certified by Germany yet. And one of the stipulations is that if Russia does any kind of aggressive moves, that Germany will not certify. So it's like, they're trying to force them into some sort of aggression. So this gas pipeline is not open. And Biden even mentioned the pipeline that if Putin shows aggression, that gas pipeline is not going to open. But what is Biden going to do? Is he going to bomb it?
Jesus.
Now,
I would hope not.
And you know, just because the U.S. doesn't want that gas pipeline open doesn't mean Germany, you know, they may go ahead and approve it. But, I mean, that's the dynamic for the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh.
What a mess.
What a mess.
It's called Nord Stream 2.
I don't understand what the Biden administration is doing. I really don't, considering all the factors. They could be diplomats, and yet they're rattling their swords.
Yeah,
well, the other side's rattling swords, too, remember. So you have to match it, don't you?
No, you don't. No, I disagree with that. You don't have to match it. You can be the one that steps up and says, look, this is not the way to maneuver this. And you can get
game being played in Ukraine? I mean, does anybody believe that we actually are concerned about democracy in Ukraine?
No, I don't. Not for a minute.
I mean, not when we're supporting Saudi Arabia and all these other countries.
That's a very good argument, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It comes down to power, you know, acquiring power or denying power to what your conceived enemies are. And if they can deny that huge amounts of influx of capital to Russia by not allowing a gas pipeline to open up, you know, I mean, some of these guys, these old parts, they're still fighting the Cold War, you know. These guys need to retire.
They do. I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I saw today on CNN the Finnish prime minister, and of course they're neutral, Finland, said that he thought we were in a new stage of a colder Cold War. That's what the language he used. I was a little startled by that. So I don't know what to make of that, but that's what he said, you know.
Yeah. What happened to the China pivot?
Wow.
Well, I just don't understand why there's emphasis on Ukraine.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, other than the gas pipeline. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, Biden was there, Biden's son, I mean, was there for how long? So you got to wonder, okay, what connections does that have? You know, I'm trying not to get into conspiracies or anything like that, but
right.
it does seem like there was some political groundwork being laid down.
Yeah. It's a tough one to figure out, but one thing's pretty certain. If there was an agreement made at the unification of Germany, mm-hmm. it should really be honored by the United States.
I would agree.
I'm surprised to hear
links.
About that. I wonder. I guess
you know,
it's true. Wait, that's really amazing to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's always quid pro quos in any kind of negotiation for such a huge turnaround. I understood at the time that something went down that had to have been big.
Yeah. You know, about a year and a half ago, Putin's popularity was going in the tubes. But, you know, since this Ukraine thing in Crimea, you know, he's like the most popular he's ever been. Like,
yeah, one thing that comes up is if Trump had won and was still in office, what would be happening now? That's an interesting question.
He'd be governing. They'd be having a green light to go right on in. And,
well, certainly he was probably going to be out of NATO, Trump.
Right.
He didn't want NATO,
Trump,
so I think we would have been out of NATO. That I think, yeah.
Exactly. Trump was trying to destroy NATO via Putin's
yeah,
orders.
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Absolutely. He, he made no bones about it.
He was in now, he probably would have no problem. That, but he wouldn't even make an issue of it, I guess, yeah.
Right, so there's so much... So many variables here, and so much.
And we don't know all the
influence.
Facts.
Exactly,
yeah.
We don't know all the facts. But I can tell you,
find out about 40 years.
Right.
My bottom line is that war is not the solution. You know, diplomacy and giving each other, you know, maybe not all of what they want, but something that both sides can agree upon.
Well. Right, and but then you also have the scenario of Chamberlain. He had an agreement signed by Hitler. He waived it. See, we got peace in our time, and shit, it wasn't. A few weeks later, he went into Poland. So, you know, sometimes, diplomacy is good if everybody honors the agreement. If you go into it just to, it's like in Vietnam. Well, we want to talk peace. We want to talk peace. We quit bombing. In the meantime, North Vietnamese were just running supplies down, resupplying themselves in the South. And then it's like, yeah, no, negotiations are off. And then there'd be a counterattack with all new weapons moved in there. Trying to talk diplomacy can also be a tool to your outer means. Right, right.
Yeah, to rearm and redistribute.
To rearm, right. And if Putin comes to the table, don't think that's not happening, too.
Well, if you're going to have diplomacy, you need to honor your side in your agreements.
Absolutely.
And
the thing is,
it seems like we haven't. So who's the insincere one here?
Well,
that's true. In this instance, we seem to be the ones that are backing down and walking across the line. You can't blame Russia or Putin for seeing, you know, the armaments and everything to the Ukraine as a beginning move on the chessboard. I mean, that's castling.
Yeah.
We have just castled him. And that's not cool.
You know,
in a way, what it means is that Putin can claim the Monroe Doctrine in reverse, right? In a way, that's our neighborhood. Leave us alone.
We've done it.
But
we did it.
You know, it's
But actually, I've said to my students, the Monroe Doctrine, whatever it meant, is dead. Since Castro came in, there's really no Monroe Doctrine. We have a number of countries in the hemisphere that we, meaning our government, doesn't like, but they're there.
Well, China's in the Panama Canal. They're running it.
And I'm saying countries like Venezuela and Nicaragua, you know,
Nicaragua,
not
Venezuela,
pro-American, and we tolerate
Venezuela.
It, I mean, we live with it.
Right.
And China pretty much owns Africa.
Yes.
Silk Road Initiative.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, that was another lost opportunity. We had, well, we could have done the same thing, but the only thing that we ever invested in is if a country was expressing some interest in going communist. And the very second a communist word was mentioned, you know, here comes the CIA and all this covert stuff and you know, all this money pouring in, but it's not to improve the condition of the country, it's to prevent any possibility of communism. I mean, we would accept the most horrendous School of the Americas dictators as long as, you know, they express their hatred of communism, and it's like, what's the morality in that?
You know, like Chile and Argentina, Wayne, right?
I was going to say, David, in the mid-70s, the Navy sent me down to Chile and under Pinochet. And, of course, that was really – they assassinated the democratically elected president.
On September 11th, 1973, just like September 11th, 2001. It's interesting. It's the same day, different years. But
right.
You're
And also in Argentina, too. So, you know, when the military junta took over, because they threw out the Peronists, who were socialist aspects. And I saw the tension in the whole population
of
Argentina. You know, to see if, you know, they're talking to me. I'm in a full-dress uniform, and they're talking to me. And I was 21, and, you know, so, you know. Young
when you were young,
18,
right?
I was what?
When you were young, I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, that ship has sailed.
Good old days.
Now, right? But, you know, as they were talking to you, there'd be a nervous look over the shoulder to see if some federale was watching them and disapproving that they were talking to me. You could feel the tension in the whole population.
Yeah.
You know, gentlemen, I don't know if anybody's thinking about this, but if ground war did break out with this virus running the way it is, this plague, I wonder how the casualty lists would pile up, on what side of the aisle and why. Because there's
it'd be a biological factor, nature's own means of a biological factor that could decimate, you know, a whole army. And I don't know how well Russia is vaccinated with their population and their military forces.
Their military forces are vaccinated.
I'm sorry, say that again, Glenn.
Their military forces are vaccinated, and so are ours.
Those who didn't get vaccinated in this country, they got their ass thrown out of the military.
That's right.
So, yeah. I don't think they... If Russia goes into Ukraine, I think the skirmish is going to last about 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. There's no... Look, every battle is a battle of attrition, and Ukraine just does not have the horses to keep a toe-to-toe battle.
Yeah.
Yes, but what would the Allies do? I mean, the Allies, in other words, anybody who sides with America, what would they do? Would there be a
battle? Well, they would just throw sanctions. They're going to just throw sanctions. So.
And that's
prevent the gas pipeline from opening, sanctions, and, you know, sell billions and billions of dollars more weapons. What would
do? Any kind of a legitimate commerce business would be shut down between NATO and the Russian.
So the cost to the population would be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would be. We already have sanctions on Russia.
Right.
Really,
so let's look at the recent history. When Russia, which I told you, was going to go and take the Crimean Peninsula, because that's Russia's only warm water port when it was the Soviet Union, and I said, Putin cannot afford to let that go. He's going to go in and get it. And sure enough, he did. But what did the rest of the NATO allies do? Not a damn thing. Of course,
no.
Again, it was, Ukraine was not part of NATO, but, you know, we drew a line in the sand and then, you know, just kind of wiped it away with our hand when Russia went ahead and did it. You know, that's what's going to happen here, I think. Russia's going to go in. There's going to be a lot of, oh, this is an atrocity, you know, blah, 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 you know. War crimes, blah, 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 blah. Long at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Nothing.
No, they can't. I mean, we can't afford to go into Ukraine.
Exactly. Yeah, they, right, right, right. We can't afford American lives
mm-hmm.
to be lost.
But,
in
I mean,
that issue.
Maybe that's not the goal. Like I said, maybe the goal is just to prevent that gas pipeline from opening up.
Well,
yeah.
That was, you know, that's a very good scenario, David. Right, because that's the last thing that Germany, i.e., the NATO ally, needs to be is become subservient, addicted to the natural gas pipeline coming out of Russia.
Yeah, they need to be addicted to our pipeline.
Well, they were talking. That's funny you mentioned that. They were talking about we have lots of natural gas, make it liquefied natural gas, ship it over to Germany, unload it and stuff, you know, and it's going to be real cheap. Well, not shipping cost is not cheap, you know. Yes, we have a lot of natural gas. We can cool it down and liquefy it. Again, that
yeah,
costs money. Then transport it over to Germany to unload it and then disseminate it through their infrastructure. That's a lot of money.
Money makes the world go round, right?
That's a very hazardous transport, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Those
absolutely.
Big huge tankers at LNG.
Yeah,
I think the amount of energy I looked at it one time is close to a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, if that would went off, yeah, that would be a very violent explosion. So.
Yeah, meanwhile, talking, because it was brought up about the issue of about the virus and all that, you know, COVID-19, what's going on in Ottawa is unbelievable, and we're having conservatives of this country and Fox News supporting it, including Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, hoping there'll be trouble at the State of the Union address, hoping there would be trouble at the time of the Super Bowl, which there wasn't. It's just beyond belief that, you know, that people can be taking that kind of a stand and call themselves patriots, you know?
It's crazy. Crazy times.
Right, well. Yeah, I was going to say, as a matter of fact, they have been called, and they're being funded by reactionary right aspects in this country. They're funding the discourse. They're funding the discombobulation. And once Trudeau in Canada says, okay, we're freezing your assets, we're arresting the truck drivers, the truck is now mine, until you get, you know, you get your shit together. But meanwhile, there's still the other clutch that, okay, then let's, you know, the next, it's like following the Grateful Dead. Where's the next show? Oh, Washington, D.C. with Biden's City
Yeah,
March
1st is the State of the Union, yeah.
Right, they're going to just write. So.
Just beyond belief,
a
you know, these Republicans and conservatives stop at nothing, you know.
Here's a pretty good subject for discussion. What do you think about the classified documents that were in Mar-a-Lago?
Oh, my God. That should put him in prison right now, it seems to me.
It should.
Anybody else who did that kind of thing would be in jail already.
Yeah, anybody
and
else?
Before trial. I mean, it would be arrested,
yeah.
I'm saying.
Blatantly illegal, and you
yeah.
know damn well that, you know, really sensitive stuff has already been expunged as quickly as it could.
Yeah, the belief is that when he had that meeting at the White House in the first months with the foreign minister and the UN ambassador to Russia, that he was showing them documents and all that. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was. Well, here's the other thing that has come out, and this is a fact. You know, all three of our intelligence agencies had already been recording, knowing that he was working with the Russians to skew the election against Hillary Clinton. They know it. They've got the voice recordings. They've got the document. They've got everything. And then as soon as he walked into the White House, and it's a typical counterintelligence thing, you think this man's a leak, and you think this man's a leak, and this person over here is a leak, you tell them three different stories. And the one that pops up in the communication in Russia, that's where you know is the source of the leak. Well, the story they told Trump was the one that pumped up in Russia. As soon as he was told the secret stuff, that secret story that was unique to himself, That's the one that popped up in the communications in Russia. Trump was committing treasonous acts. Okay, and now let me give me a little time here. There was a husband and wife. He worked at the Pax River with the and they were developing the latest and greatest nuclear submarine powering systems. Well, he thought he was talking to Russian agents, but he was talking to FBI, and he was trying to sell them and passed on the secret documents of the latest of our technology of our nuclear subs. They both have now, they were both arrested, and now both have pleaded guilty to that treasonous act. They will be pulling time. Now let's, okay.
Michael Flynn isn't.
No, well, that's, thank you very much. It's like, where, how is it that this couple is instantly in jail after pleading guilty? But we have Michael Flynn. We have, but they knew it was Trump. Was
Michael Flynn's really a wacko, yeah.
Act, right? And his ass is in the jail.
Yeah. And what about that Chinese woman that was found in Mar-a-Lago and they didn't know what she was doing there a couple of years ago? I think the Chinese were also getting an advantage with Trump.
Yeah. He was right. He was taking them. Well, and then, of course, we've talked about this. Her name is Maria. She was a Russian agent in this country funneling Russian money into the NRA.
Yeah,
to be disseminated to every conservative Republican in this country who is taking Russian money, Mitch McConnell being the most high-profile, worst one of them all.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She went to court. She admitted. She told him who she was giving money to, who she slept with to get influence. She was sleeping with, you know, Republican senators, you know, for a little bit of tricks for trade, we'll call it.
Oh, my gosh.
She slept with him.
And, right? And those people are still sitting.
And I think Kevin McCarthy probably was involved in that.
You know, they're still touting, you know, oh, that's right, this election was stolen from us good Republicans and all that. Come on. You've taken corruptive Russian money.
That's why I don't
just,
watch,
you know, where can we go with this? You know, how much more can I go with this?
Almost
well,
like there's no integrity
is,
in politics anymore.
You think? And the other part about that is just like the Mueller report, nothing gets done. Nothing gets done.
Well, it's because of the Attorney General, of course, only gave a summary, four-page summary, which was not a real summary. He didn't release the whole report.
That's
right.
That was Trump's. That's crap. Barr homogenized that to a non-factor.
Yeah, they've all been out of office for how long? And it's just ridiculous. I think it's just ridiculous.
It is an outrage, but I mean, I guarantee you, if you looked at it a bit, you'd probably see the worst enemy of the Attorney General having lunch with the you know, it's sort of like a game with them, you know, it's like, you see these two lawyers battling it out in the courtroom, and then you going over to wherever for drinks? Yeah, I'll meet you there, you know. It's like an inner structure that.
Yeah,
the Potomac do-si-do.
Yeah.
It's so depressing, and it pulls it out of you, any kind of support for anything that's going on when you have, you know, one injustice after another completed and nothing is done about it significantly. There is no significant action taken. And you wonder, how the hell can these people who, you know, every word spoken while Trump was in an office and they were investigating him, or we'll get him soon type of thing. Mm-hmm. All of this is nothing but blather. It's just blather.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't think Trump will serve any time. I think he'll buy first time.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any recompense.
I think the civil stuff of a fraud, I think he is going to serve time. You don't think so?
No, I don't. Yeah. I really don't. I think that money talks and bullshit walks, and our government and our government is nothing but bullshit. Come on.
I think what they'll do is they'll look at it like we can't have a former U.S. president in a prison. You know,
why not?
And I agree. Why not?
Countries have done it in their presidents or prime ministers.
Well, here's
Israel's done it.
I agree.
Let me
no problem.
This.
I mean, I would pay $50 to see a perp walk from Trump, but you know, haul him in handcuffs. But
gentlemen, I'm with civil. Bring the guillotine back.
Oh yeah. And the thing is, it's not just this country. The Epstein's pimp in France supplied him with a lot of underage girls. Yeah. Okay. Epstein. I'm doing air quotes here. Hung himself and committed suicide in prison.
Hanged himself, yeah.
You know, right. When everybody, all of a sudden, the cameras and security cameras were turned off and all this stuff.
Now this French guy,
the one who was this pimp, the one that supplied him with these young girls from France, guess what happened to him? Oh, he was arrested.
He committed suicide,
hung himself in prison with nobody around to watch him.
And now
well,
I think Ghislaine Maxwell
is
probably going to be the same thing.
Part of the pedophile island, you sort of get depressed, and you know you're just really depressed and sad. You get in your jail cell, and you know you just want to kill yourself.
Right.
Well, supposedly Trump also was involved with people under 18.
Yeah.
Well, of course he was.
It's sort of amazing how high the accomplishments of humanity can be, but it's. You know, the wide dynamic and how low the acts of humanity can get, you know, it's like, wow.
Well,
you know, there's things that are just so disgusting.
If the old saying is, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And when you gain that kind of wealth and have that kind of power, the rules of society then no longer apply to you. If I want that 14-year-old girl because I think, boy, wouldn't that be titillatingly exciting, it happens. With no repercussion.
Well, you know, while all of this is going on the in the bureaucracy of patriarchy, this virus has shut business down and restructured how we go to work. You know, the corporations aren't doing the same business. Many people work from home now. A majority of them do.
Don't want to go back to work.
And it's more thrifty, and it works better. It works out better for the companies too.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but people are leaving Chicago, New York, Phoenix. They're moving back into small towns and reinvigorating those little economies, you know?
Yeah,
small
I think it's a
America.
Great pivot point in labor, the great resignation.
Yeah.
I think corporations will be surprised. A lot of these people are not going to come back.
No. They have a shortage in the service industry in the state of Florida right now. They actually rose the, you know, from $7 to $15, and they still can't get people to come back to work because people are, I think there's something funny going on there. But minimum wage in the state is at $15 if people go to Burger King or CVS or wherever they need service, you know, the little store gas stations and stuff. But people aren't doing it. They are not doing it.
So
and,
even $15 an hour is not a living wage. It really is.
No, it's not, but
that's,
it's a
that's
hell of a lot.
That's
year. Exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We've been so far behind
be
that curve.
Meantime, the housing costs are rising ridiculously, like 08. We're in an 08 fail-safe again.
Mm-hmm.
And
the rents are going crazy in Florida, yes, and elsewhere.
And Hawaii, too. And people are leaving Hawaii. People are leaving a lot of places. And they're going back out to the country. They're going back to the country.
Our house doubled in value in the past, like, couple of years.
Yeah. Well, market-wise, these things will either straighten out or will crumble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a reckoning of it, or we will crumble because it just can't continue. We're not the only country that's going through this. It's happening in Britain.
No.
Right. Yeah. When the Republicans see what Biden is doing, look at the price of gas. They're putting little stickers with the picture of Biden pointing up to the price tag, right? Saying, I did this. No, this is a global thing. You know.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
But that's it. Stupid people say it and say, yeah, that's right. See, this is all Biden's fault. That's perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all Biden's fault because of inflation. I guess they don't understand the concept of the Fed.
Well, how about micro and macroeconomics?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I hear somebody say that, I look at them and I say, well, I'll tell you what. Explain to me the difference between micro and macroeconomics and how they interact with each other. Totally blank look, deer caught in the headlights look, because they didn't even understand what the hell I said to them in English.
Well, yeah, people are. I saw a video on, I think it was Facebook, where a guy goes to these QAnon meetings, and he asks people absolute lie, ridiculous questions of, you know, made up information, like, did you know that going to church on Sunday causes cancer, kind of thing. And you get people saying, oh, yeah, we do that. I've known that for days. I mean, it's just the most absurd stuff. It's usually a sentence about, you know, what the Democrats are doing or whatever. But, you know, they're feeding the children to aliens, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's happening.
I like the one where there's they got this,
in a pizza parlor.
You know, this Billy Bob Cooper, you know, with his ball cap on, and saying, how do you think that, Obama is responsibility for 9/11 attacks? Well, that's right, because he was never in office and then let that happen and stuff like this. And the guy said, where do you think he was? Well, that's one thing I'd like to know. You know, and this person votes, and he will walk through a 5-foot blizzard snowstorm to cast his vote. And those who should be getting out and casting their vote for their own self-interest won't even get out if you sent a limousine, picked them up, took them there to the voting booth, and brought them back. That's the problem.
You know, there's always been a large population of, I guess you call them the willfully ignorant. I mean,
willfully ignorant.
Yeah. Long history of it. But I think with the power of the internet, it just allows them to group together and coagulate. So
stunning. It's stunning because, you know, they are offered such a grand opportunity for enlightenment and education on the net or television.
Right.
Making different choices, but the net and television has its loopholes for them, like Fox News or, YouTube with that crazy guy that went after Sandy Hook. Jones. By the way, Sandy Hook won its suit against Remington.
Well, it wasn't won a suit. They came to a settlement of $37 million to pay them. So in other words, they didn't.
I thought it was $73 million.
Okay, it was.
I think it was 73.
Right, and I have my number reversed. Okay, I'm sorry, but here's getting back to your first statement, Glenn. Everard Murrow in the 50s, when television was just really getting to be popular and people were
had enough to put in there.
His quote was, this can either be the best teaching tool in an education or it can be the biggest wasteland.
And it's both.
You have to go out and hunt for it. You have to choose it. The psychologist will tell you, and there's a name for it, but basically people will go out and look for things that does nothing more than confirm the way they want reality to be, i.e. Fox News, i.e. Sean Hannity, i.e., you know.
Or Ingram and Tucker Carlson, yeah.
Right, you know, all that. Because they're just saying things that I want to hear, making me think that I want this to be true, so therefore it is true.
I mean, that they go on and
stepping back a little bit, the $73 million was from Remington Arms. The family sued the Remington.
Right.
And Remington declared bankruptcy. But they won the case against Alex Jones.
Yeah, he is really
liable for damages.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was
so he's pretty much
wasn't Alex Jones that was propagating that Hillary Clinton was running a kiddie porn syndicate out of a pizza, right? And
now they're attacking her on Fox News again. I see Hillary Clinton.
Yes, she's right. There was some goober out of North Carolina, right? Got his AR-15 and his pistol, you know, whatever he had, 9mm Glock, right? Drove up to that pizza place, right? And he was going to free those poor children. So here he comes barging in looking like Rambo. And the people eating it for the pizza are looking at him like, what the hell is this shit? Of course, he was a rock star, right?
He didn't do any harm.
That he had bought into a line of bullshit.
Yeah, well, what about these people in Dallas? I don't know if they're still there, that were thinking John F. Kennedy and John F. Kennedy Jr. were going to show up.
That's the QAnon people.
That's just insane. How do these people do this? How do they spend all that time in Dallas? I mean, what, they were all rich or something? Or?
No, I think it's like, you know.
How do
people
follow the Grateful Dead for, you know,
there you
two
go.
Decades?
Right.
People get shit done, honey. They get shit done if they're motivated. The last time people got together and got shit done, I guess, was during World War II. Paper drives, rubber drives.
Yes.
Rosie the Riveter.
Yep, Rosie. And, of course, a woman did it.
And I got to tell you something. Until more women are running things, this lunacy is going to continue.
Well,
I agree.
And I would agree with that, but then we have, what's her name, Marjorie Taylor Ding Dong out of Georgia.
Or in
Boebert,
and also Sarah Palin, who lost her case against the New York Times.
And the Babbitt, is her name Babbitt? The woman out there in West, is she from Oklahoma or Wyoming?
Lauren Boebert, in Colorado.
Just as dingy as they are, they come. They're totally ignorant, illiterate.
And also the South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, another one. Ugh.
Right, you know, so it just goes on and on. So,
Sarah Palin got a notice again. I'm sure she's happy she's in the news again, even though she lost.
Well, I was going to say, the thing is that the judge threw it out before even the jury came back to their deliberation. He said, this is a total bullshit case. I'm throwing it out. I don't care what the jury comes back at. I'll throw it out. And if they come back saying that, you know, this is bullshit, right? And that's just, you know, then that's like, you know, okay, I don't even need to apologize anymore. That's where we've come as a country. We are, and, you know, I heard one the other day, he said, well, you see, I'm a good Christian, and I know that the world
I hate that when people say that.
that is the opening statement of every con man.
The religious people are the most hypocritical of all, many cases. Not all, but many cases. Yeah.
Okay.
My mother used to have a saying. She would say, the Christians at the door, hide your checkbook.
That's right.
That's right.
Those little envelopes that, you know, I was Roman Catholic and in mass. You'd put the money in a little envelope and the ushers would come around with the basket. My stepfather was an usher. And he did to us. The envelope he already had put in for us. And he'd stand there and shake the basket in front of me. Little girl.
Now, I've got to pass this on. There was an episode of Mr. Bean, which I loved at the time, right? You know, they bring the basket around, right? But, like, he had a $5 bill, right? He put it in and took out $4.50 of change out of the basket. So he gave the
but you know, I'm one of the people that says tax the churches, tax the kirk, make them pay.
Right.
The Vatican Bank, the nuncio over there, they have more money than God, and they have more real estate on the planet than God.
Yeah.
So they should be made to pay. God, gosh knows, they sell their churches quick enough to pay off the pedophilia.
Yes, exactly right. So, there was a thing, when someone says, you know, the counter-argument is, well, my church already, you know, does a lot to feed the poor and philanthropic aspects. Good, you can write that off to your taxes, or your tax form when you're filling out your taxes, church, you know. You are entity, you are a corporation, right? If you have expenses and you're doing charitable things, you can write that off your taxes. But if you took in this much money,
you
have this much real estate and things like that, then it's time to start taxing them. Especially if they're funneling money into government, I mean, into political aspects. As a matter of fact, a lot of those truckers that were up in Canada, they were funded by religious fundamentalists.
What is that about? Guys.
Oh, they don't want to be vaccinated. What it is is they've taken the anti-vaxxers here, have now grown it and motivated, so they want to project it into Canada, and that bridge that links the economy fly lines, especially for the auto industry, like in Windsor, Canada, and here, right? They're just blocking the bridge, so they're creating traffic blockage to keep commerce from flowing back and forth. It's shut down, so they demand there's no vaccination mandate. That's what it is. It's anti-vax.
Well, that'll bring the military out to move them if nobody else can.
Well, they've, like I said, in Canada, Trudeau put up with a little bit, and they said, nah, arrest them, you know, seize their assets, impound the trucks. They're ours. Get them off the road.
Yeah.
Well,
I would imagine.
There's those that were on this side, right? Well, then that's when and Rand Paul announced that, well, you anti-vaxxers, take this hearing, go right to the Super Bowl. Let's end the Super Bowl. All right, here's Rand Paul promoting and announcing, and you see it on Facebook, let's take this violent applications and let's take it to the Super Bowl. Well, that didn't happen. But now they're saying, all right, now we're going to send it to D.C. So we'll all be there during the State of the Union. And that's where this is really going to end up. They're going to pull the same shit in Washington, D.C.
I would think that the current administration would put the kibosh down on anything that looks
think,
like it could turn into a...
The mayor of D.C., should be doing that. Hogan of Maryland should be doing that. As they're coming into D.C., and if they're coming up through Virginia, it all should be the same. If you're creating that, you want to block the Woodrow Wilson Bridge on 495, the Beltway, impound the trucks, arrest the drivers, and seize their assets.
That's right.
Wow.
But I don't think Hogan would do it.
Meanwhile, there's this thing about eight Republican senators have opposed putting mask opponents on a no-fly list, the ones that are causing ruckuses on planes, because they say that would make them look like domestic terrorists. Well, in my mind, if you're on a plane and you don't wear a mask and you cause trouble and punch people and make a scene and put the people on the plane in danger, you are a domestic terrorist.
Agreed.
You are.
Agreed.
I agree.
And these include both Florida senators are two of the eight that want to prevent this. They think it's a horrible thing to prevent people from ever flying again, to put them on a no-fly list. Rick Scott of Marco Rubio of Florida, Mike Lee of Utah, Ted Cruz, oh, my God, of Texas, and four others. It's just this state is so bad off, I'll tell you. I mean, more than most, Florida's – although Oklahoma is not very good either. Maryland's better, right?
Just a bad, yeah, just a tad better, but yes, only because the Maryland General Assembly is still democratically controlled. Annapolis, I'm so proud of my new adoptive town here. We have an all-democratic town council and representative here in Annapolis.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you know, the truth is that all of this ridiculousness, I mean, I've seen a couple of videos, but I've also flown this past year. And people that I ran into on my flights, and I took a lot of them, I mean, just to get to and back again from Alaska was outrageous. But the thing is I experienced people being very courteous and careful with one another, keeping their masks on. And the people on board the planes, the attendants, what do they call them now? Flight attendants?
Flight attendants.
Yeah, okay. They were all very, very courteous, but very stern when somebody would like, you know, oh, well, it's just below my nose. I have to now put it back. Everybody was very cooperative.
I'm counting the seconds before I hear Gwen burst out laughing.
Okay.
Yeah. She'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, please enlighten us. You've got me hanging on every word now.
I got to tell you, though, for sure, I would rather step on a plane than go to Publix in my neighborhood. I'm in Florida, okay? That's your first.
What happens to your Publix? My Publix is no problem.
Oh, my God.
What goes on?
What are you talking about Publix?
No
mask. The grocery store?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
No, actually, most people wear masks in mine. I don't know. Boy.
Well, where are you located? You're in West Boca?
Yes, at Clintbourne Road, 41.
Yeah. Well, West Boca is kind of known for being, you know, rather conservative, but also smarter and also...
yeah, but they also joke is that people in not so much West Boca, think that you know what doesn't stink.
Okay.
They're snobby, you know. That's the image anyway.
Yeah. Well, Hogan has lifted the mask mandate, you know, now because we're like 75, closer to 80% totally vaccinated here in Maryland. And, you know, they basically have lifted the mask. But my wife and I were out today in the malls and stuff, and I was doing it too. We were all still wearing our masks.
I got to tell you, I won't go to a restaurant inside. Outside, yeah, but not inside. I went to a restaurant in Maine, and it was still colder than Welldigger Bass in the Klondike. But they had heaters. You know, on a patio.
Mm-hmm, outside,
And that was okay, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, we're at the bottom.
Time is
of
up
the,
just about.
So,
yeah, I was just going to say that.
This has been a good conversation.
Yeah, great having
thank
you on
you.
Again, David.
Thanks, yeah, thank you. Now that we've solved the world's problems, maybe we can go on to something else.
Well, if they listened to us.
All right.
Go ahead.
Everybody take care.
Thank you for listening in. This has been the Sunday Show with author Ronald Feynman, commentators David Williams and Wayne Johnson. And be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for Come Now, Don't Solve. We need a few laughs. We'll get them there.
Absolutely. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks,
we'll
everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. for the Sunday Show.